Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Jane Garvey, Administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and joining me in our conversation is Carolyn Smith, another PwC partner.
Thank you, Paul. Jane, we know that the FAA led other public agencies here in the U.S. and internationally in implementing the Y2K compliance systems last year. In fact, you and I had the pleasure of flying across country at midnight, December 31st, 1999. What are some of the lessons that you could pass along on that you learned in this process to other leaders about systems implementation efforts?
Well, that was a great night. It certainly was. I think there are lessons not only for just the FAA, but as you've suggested, for other elements of government. And some sound so basic when you say it, and yet I think we tend to get away from it. First and foremost, we had someone accountable. We had one person in charge. And again, in government, sometimes things tend to be somewhat dispersed. But we said, for Y2K, there's got to be a Y2K guru. There's got to be somebody who is leading the charge. And that person, because it was such an important position, should be reporting to the administrator. You know, you can't do that on everything because you'll have everyone reporting to the administrator. But in this case, we felt it was important enough in terms of accountability to have that person report to the administrator. So that's number one. Number two, and again, management 101, but set very, very clear benchmarks and very clear timelines. They absolutely had to be adhered to. I guess we, had, in a sense, had a luxury with Y2K. That deadline was not something that could be moved. So that gave it a sense of urgency. But clear deadlines, clear milestones, benchmarks along the way, and frankly, very little tolerance for not meeting those benchmarks. We were able to recruit some of the most talented people at the FAA to the Y2K effort, and of course that's always a real plus as well, to have folks who just want to do this and really want to get it done. And then finally, Congress was extraordinarily helpful in giving us the resources that we needed. That's, again, not always the case, but in terms of Y2K, we had dedicated resources, clear point of accountability, benchmarks, milestones, and a great contractor, by the way, who helped us who helped us as well. But I really do think, again, that's another effort where you've got the public and the private sector coming together and really attacking something head on and bringing in industry because, again, we were going to be working with the airlines. That was going to be important.
But truthfully, did you have any apprehension about flying during the date change?
You know, I really didn't. And I think because we had had so many tests up to that point, I was more nervous about being on Tom Brokaw. So that was, but by that time, we really thought it would go well. We had had a test of pretty accurate test on in April, the preceding April, and when we passed that with flying colors, it was in Denver, we all felt pretty good.
How does the FAA balance the competing interests around building new or expanding existing airports?
Oh, that's very, very challenging for us. People love aviation. Aviation's becoming a form of mass transportation. But there's certainly a great deal of reluctance when it comes to either adding runways or adding new airports. It is the classic not in my backyard. And our role is a very interesting one. We all of those decisions are really initiated at the local level. And it's kind of interesting because you really do think of aviation as a national system. But it is a local decision whether or not they'd like to begin the process of either thinking through a new airport or thinking through a runway. And some have suggested, well, maybe the federal government should play a more heavy-handed role. But I'm not sure that really is the answer. I frankly, and I've been around this since 83, I've never seen a public works project succeed unless there is a strong local consensus. You won't have everyone for it, but you've got to have enough of a critical mass to really generate some support. So it really begins at the local level, but then the FAA and the federal government comes into play very quickly through the environmental process, which sometimes is quite challenging. One of the roles that I think we can play effectively, and that is not necessarily to be an advocate of whatever solution. Because, again, you look at Chicago, is the answer a third airport? Is the answer another runway? I mean, those are things local folks have to attack, I think, at the local level. But what we can do is give them the right kind of data to make informed decisions. This week, we just announced what's called capacity benchmarks. And we looked at the top 31 airports in this country. And we said, what's the capacity? What's the demand? And what are some options to meet the future demand? And so I think that's going to be a terrific springboard, a terrific framework for local communities to say, okay, here's what the demand is, here's what the capacity is. We're in trouble. You know, we're getting too close to hitting the ceiling on our capacity. What can we do? What should we do? To really increase capacity, because that's really what we want to do.
Well, one of the issues on the table with increased capacity is just how long it takes to build a new runway or a new airport. And I know the Secretary of Transportation has indicated that was one of his priorities, would try to reduce that time frame. Can you give us some sense of what the time frame is and what steps you can take to reduce it?
And believe me, if it's the Secretary's priority, it's my priority. So he mentioned it a great deal, I think, both at his hearing and in subsequent speeches that he's given as well. We're submitting a report to Congress that's going to be actually in Congress in early May, which takes a look both at what is the process. We sort of lay out what is the process and then a series of recommendations. People tend to say, well, the environmental process takes too long. When you break it down and do a kind of an anatomy of a project, what we're finding is that the environmental process is generally, about 2 or 3 years. What really adds the time, and by the way, for some of the airports, some of the runways we've seen, 10 and 12 years to get a runway through, where we see the real difficulties, if you will, are at the beginning of the process, which is the planning process, getting that kind of local consensus that I spoke about, or at the end, after the environmental process is finished. Sometimes there are additional permits, state permits or additional federal permits that need to be secured, and sometimes those take too long. There are, I think, 2 or 3 areas that we're focusing on, that the Secretary is focusing on as well. One is to have dedicated teams for the high priority projects, the ones that really are going to have an impact on a system. What happens in San Francisco can affect the entire system. So we have a dedicated team for the runway project in San Francisco. That's all they're doing. That's really their focus. So I think, and again, that's that point of accountability again. I think that's certainly one thing that can be done. The Secretary has talked about pulling together all of the environmental agencies with transportation to really establish some MOUs, so we say very clearly up front, what are all our responsibilities and when do we weigh in this process? So I think that's another area that could be very helpful. We're looking at expanding something that's called categorical exemptions, those projects that don't have to go through the same rigorous environmental process. But having said all of that, I have to reiterate what the Secretary has, and that is we're not talking about shortchanging the environmental process. We're not talking about eliminating it, but we're talking about making it more efficient, doing things simultaneously, looking at much more a more streamlined way to get to the end result. Environmental issues are very serious, have to be taken seriously, but I think there it's fair to say, can we do it faster? Can we be more efficient?
Well, this is a good example. The FAA receives a great deal of media attention. What advice would you give to other public officials trying to deal effectively with the media?
Again, I think it's probably advice that we all intuitively know, but sometimes it's hard to do. One is, I think you have to be very straight with the media. You have to be as honest as you possibly can be. The sort of very basic issue about getting back to them quickly. They're trying to do their job as well. Something I should do more of, and I find every time I do it, it pays off, and that is those informal roundtables that you sometimes have with members of the press, sometimes without a clear any sort of late-breaking news, but just a way to really keep those lines of communications open. And I think, above all, really cultivate those reporters that are really good and take the issue seriously.
We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Jane Garvey of the FAA.